It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Tess was just saying, if you didn't like that song, you find that, hey, so annoying. Did you like find that annoying or did you enjoy it, Phil?
Oh, it was all right. that's a really enthusiastic answer, isn't it? I liked the music last week a bit better. It was more contemplative. I was in a contemplative mood last week, of course, you know, so soon after the terrorist attack in Christchurch. But life is gradually returning, I guess, to normal. I guess really important that, you know, what we've built on the basis of that attack in terms of just energising the community and bringing the community together, I hope that's something that doesn't dissipate with time. I think that's got to become the new normal, that we are here for each other, we are supporting each other, we are committed to a tolerant and harmonious society where people can be free to practice their religion, to be proud of their cultural identity. I think, you know, some of those lessons coming out of it, plus some of the more pragmatic things, the gun control legislation on MSSAs, well overdue. The Royal Commission, just to say, hey, did our intelligence agencies do all the right things? I make no judgment on that, but, you know, you just hope they weren't looking in the wrong direction. But it may be that this guy just came out of nowhere, left no clues. We don't know, but the Royal Commission will sort that out.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Peter Lynham yesterday about some of the unexpected sort of things that have come out of this, and you're right. A lot of it. What has been so, you know, amazing to see is the just across all religions, across all faiths, an acceptance of each other, and a yearning to move ahead without the divisiveness that we had before. You know, which I mean, obviously not everyone thinks that way. There's some people are still freaked out by everything, but it's an amazing show of humanity and empathy and sympathy and courage, I think, too, in a lot of respects.
Just little things, you know, people actually making eye contact in the street, you know,
this is the biggest thing you can do. I thought about that, actually. It's funny you should bring that up, because this is a really important thing that people have stopped doing.
We kind of go about our business and we ignore everybody around us. And what this did, you know, I went to God knows how many events I went to, but everywhere I went, you know, people from diverse backgrounds, ethnic and faith, just sort of coming together. And I was telling one group, I've got a picture at home of my late mother, on VE Day, Victory Over Europe Day, in 1945. And it's a fantastic picture because in the background there are all these people on the street hugging each other, you know. And that was before you and I were born, just before. But, you know, you had that sense again in New Zealand that, hey, we're many peoples, diverse ethnicities and religions, but we're one nation. And there's that kind of sense. And what made you kind of felt proud to be a New Zealander, because people looking at New Zealand from outside, people from overseas said, hey, look at this little country, how the people have come together. They've been so supportive, how they've, you know, spoken out strongly against, you know, the prejudice and the bigotry and the racism that exists there. And, you know,
no one picking sides so much either, which I thought
No, it was good. You know, you could stand there and, you know, we've got an event coming up probably this Friday, which will wind up the formal period of mourning. And it'll likely at Eden Park and likely to be Friday afternoon. But, you know, just getting government.
So what were that events? Because I was going to ask you about some of the events that have, some of the vigils and some of the get-togethers that have happened up till now, have had to be self-funded. The government, the council hasn't been prepared to sort of help out on some of those.
The events have been largely organised by specific groups, and I've gone to a lot of them, not all of them. Some of them I thought sort of got sidetracked down the way to talk about issues that maybe do need talking about, but maybe not in this context. But what we've got Friday, the government's running a national event, and it'll run out of Christchurch, and that will run at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
We're thinking, partly at the request of the Muslim community, that probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon is a more appropriate time. And it's just a chance for again, people from across the city that are able to make it just to come together to express their solidarity, their sympathy, their support, their love, their commitment to, building a stronger and more resilient New Zealand community that rejects hate-based language on faith and ethnicity. I think that's really important.
Or on anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You can support a football team without or a netball team without hating the other team.
Exactly. I think one of the sentiments that comes out, and it comes out in all of our religions actually, is that love is a stronger emotion than hate. Hate's a strong emotion and a negative, destructive emotion.
Yeah.
Love is a constructive emotion.
I think we say this has been one of the most amazing examples of that this last week.
Let
me ask you this, Phil: with the vigils that have been happening around the country, say Wellington City Council paid for the sound system and the PA system and staging and that on their accounts on their vigil. How come the Auckland City Council's held off until this one coming on Friday? Why not get involved in the ones that were happening before then?
Frankly, I doubt that we've had any requests for funding in that way, but council has been incredibly active, and it's been active first of all within its organisation, because we've got quite a large part of our workforce is Muslim. And when we ran a function for them last week, it was just incredible. People coming out and saying they've never felt so supported in all their life as they were within their workplace and by their mates. Hey, so I've just got to tell you a quick story while I remember it. I was at a mosque over the North Shore on Sunday, and this guy came up to me just before we were due to start the official proceedings, and he said, I used to love New Zealand, and I sort of straightened my back a bit waiting for what was going to come next. He says, now I adore it. And that's been the emotion back, that the Muslim community has felt incredibly supported, and the Muslim community in turn has been incredibly dignified and gracious.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Calm.
Yeah.
There's no sort of wild speeches of retribution and
And in fact, any of those that have come from overseas have been sort of have been kept in check by the people who are there and people who are actually experienced.
Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, they're far more forgiving than me. I'm a Catholic boy from way back, and I do believe in redemption, but I don't believe in forgiveness unless there's remorse, and I don't think there's any remorse in this case, so I'm not ready to forgive. But I think
Like you've got something to learn, Phil.
Yeah, maybe I have. It's too much Irish in me rather than just the Catholic. But I think all of us felt anger at some point, but what was really important was that what has happened in the 10, 11 days since is that anger hasn't been the predominant emotion. It's been love. It's been support. It's been sympathy. It's been solidarity.
Solidarity to try and push the points that whatever it was that particular coward wanted to do, it just has failed. Initially he might have caused panic and terror and horror and stuff like that, but to the way that it is it's swung it around is quite phenomenal, isn't it?
I think the critical thing, if he set out to divide us, he's had the opposite impact. He's brought us together. If he set out to sow the seeds of hatred, he's had the opposite effect again. It's been that and the head boy at one of the Kashmir High School, I think, spoke beautifully on that, as did the Imam and the Prime Minister. It has been. I got a late friend who was a lawyer, but he was a theologian. He was a devout Muslim. He knew the Bible. He said, look, Phil, you look at all the values of the great religions. They actually all say the same thing about good prevailing over evil, love over hatred. And that has come through. And you don't have to be religious to say, hey, yeah, that's how you build a decent society, an inclusive society. Make it clear that any of them, we're a migrant city in Auckland. 40% of us were born overseas. But make it clear, when you come to New Zealand, you don't have to abandon your cultural identity. I watched those Muslim boys at the school doing the haka, and what they were saying, hey, we're really proud to be Muslim, but equally we're proud to be New Zealanders. And, you know, that cultural identity, you know, the haka, which is something unique to New Zealand. And, it, you know, it was incredibly moving. Everybody there, you could just feel the emotion in the air. And that is really powerful, and that is the positive that comes out of these last couple of weeks.
So what were you, how were you feeling when you were sitting there in a massive, great big funding bailout for Eden Park during the week?
Well, I was pissed off. I understand and I supported the need to keep Eden Park going. We need that stadium there in the absence of having any other national stadium. That stadium needs to keep going for, you know, at least probably another 10 or 15 years. And most of the support we gave to
I'm not disagreeing with you, but it just does seem like a great big spoilt little of a stadium, doesn't it? Now, you know, well, like, oh, dear me, you've run up some debts because you didn't run yourself properly. Oh, here's some more money, Yeah,
let me break it down a bit for you. Most of the support that we've ended up giving, one, we had no alternative to. We had a guarantee since 2010 over their loan. They can't repay their loan. We've got the guarantee. We've got to pick it up. But that will
can't
be
repay your loan. Move on. That's what happens to everybody else.
What we've got, and two things that are important about that. One, they are paying an interest rate on it that covers all of our costs. And two, mm-hmm. the loan is secured over the value of the assets at the stadium. So I've got no problem with that. That's fine. Where I had a problem with some of my councillors who like to be generous, but it's not their money that they're being generous, they said, oh, we'll make this $10 million, which will they'll come back time and again wanting more money for, because this is the capital upgrades, the turf and the lights and all of those sort of things. They said, we'll just make that a grant. We'll make that a gift. And I said, no, you've got to secure that grant against the assets that you're lending for, because otherwise they can wind up, or if they become insolvent, or if they...
because they just don't seem to be able to run themselves properly.
It's a possibility, I hope not. But if they become insolvent or they sell the asset, then that money just goes to their beneficiaries. And if the ratepayer puts the money in, the ratepayer has a claim on that asset when it's sold. And I thought that made so much sense, and I just couldn't believe that there was a large group of councillors who were lobbied intensively by the Eden Park Trust Board.
I was going to say, who's buying them drinks after the party?
Well, you know, what all councillors, and a lot of councillors, you know.
Like what sort of people are lobbying the councillors?
Oh, the people on the Eden Park Trust Board saying,
the ones who can't pay their debts.
Yeah, and I had a bit of a go because I said, well, look, Eden Park Trust Board's still paying out to its beneficiaries $1 million in cash and kind to Auckland Cricket. Now, you know, you're coming to us to ask for money, but you're still giving your beneficiaries $1 million a year in cash and kind. And, look, the councillors, I said, you know, you are responsible not to a lobby group. Forget the lobby group. There's lots of lobby groups out there. They all want money. You are responsible to the wider New Zealand, to the wider Auckland population.
Bearing in mind that so many Aucklanders are sitting there in their cars and crappy traffic right now going, I don't care about your stadiums. I don't care about them. I want better traffic situations. Well, I want transport problems attended to.
And they're absolutely right to feel that way. That's why I've said, look, I'd love to have a downtown national stadium, but at the moment, it just does not rate as a priority against investing in our transport system, investing in our housing infrastructure, investing in our in enhancing our environment and protecting our environment. And I've made it clear right from day one, those are our priorities as a city. And, you know, if we've got to wait 10 years or 20 years for a stadium, so be it. You know, it's a nice to have, but it's not essential. A decent transport system is essential because every one of us, every day, feel the frustration of not having that because we've underinvested in that infrastructure for decades.
If you've got a play centre or a kahangareo or an early childhood learning centre that can't pay its debts, it closes down.
Yep, well,
that's
the truth. But let me just put this to you, you know, because I feel the same way that you do. If Eden Park were to close down,
if it keeps, it's not so much whether it closes down, it's whether it keeps asking for money, you know.
Well, that's what I said. If the money is free and not secured against the assets, they'll keep coming back and asking money. If it's secured against their assets, and they know, well, whatever money we take, we won't get at the end of the day, they're going to be a bit more careful about their spending, and they should be. Now, look, they are making some genuine efforts to try to get themselves on track, and fine. I'm not here to attack the Eden Park Trust Board. I'm simply here to say my role, as I saw it, was to protect the interests of Auckland residents
and Auckland ratepayers,
and not to make handouts, but rather to make loans secured against an asset. And I don't understand. I challenged the other councillors that voted for a grant to say, why wouldn't you protect the interests of Aucklanders who are making this investment? And I never got an answer, and I still don't have an answer. I just think they made the wrong decision. I might have lost that vote, but if we had that vote again, I would vote in exactly the same way. That should have been a loan, not a grant. It should have been secured against the asset so that ultimately the money comes back to Aucklanders, not goes to private interests.
Phil Goff, thank you very much. I'll speak to you again this time next week. Always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. Cheers, mate.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.